I'm going to read to you a couple of verses from John Gospel and chapter 13. And this is the part where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It says this, it says, it was just before the Passover festival. And Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Yeah, they're lovely words, aren't they, actually? You know, and it reminds us that God, through Jesus, loves each one of us and will continue to love us right till the end. So we're going to sing about Jesus' presence and his love in our first hymn, which is in Songs of Fellowship, is 532, and the words will be on the screen. The King is among us. Let's pray, shall we? Just take a moment or two just to realize that God's Spirit is with us this morning. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus into this world to be our Savior. You sent him, Lord, because you loved us. You loved us so much that you want us to have eternal life and be loved by him forever. We pray, Lord, this morning as we worship together, we might be aware of God's spirit in this service today, that you might draw near to us, speak to us, encourage us, challenge us. Just give us, Lord, whatever we need this morning as we meet together in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you for who you are, for all, Lord, that you could do for us day by day, much of which, Lord, we take for granted. Lord, we pray today that our worship, Lord, might be an opportunity to give something back to you. We pray, Lord, that we might offer up our thanks, our praise, and our adoration to you this morning, so that, Father, we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, last Monday was Valentine's Day, wasn't it? So I don't know how many of you do Valentine's Day. So I've brought along a nice heart anyway, just to do. And I must admit, we tend to like to have a meal together, Sandra and I, on Valentine's Day. But we've sort of stopped all the card and flower buying over the years. But I want us to think this morning, though, about what love is all about and what true love is, and how Jesus is our source of true love. Now, I don't know about you, when I ever see a heart, the first thing you tend to think about is love. If we did a word association game this morning and I said to you, heart, I bet most of you would probably say love, wouldn't you? And we often say things like, you know, I love ice cream, I like football, I love my wife, you know, and we say things like that, don't we? There's words that sort of trip off the tongue. They did some interviews with some kids a little while ago and asked them, what does love mean to you? And I thought I'd read some of them out this morning just to give you a bit of a flavour of some of the interesting responses that the children had. As a little boy aged 5 said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on aftershave and then they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your chips without making them give you any of yours. Love is when you tell a man you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. And love is when my mummy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure that it tastes okay. I'm sure if I went round and asked you to give me some examples of what you think love is, I'm sure we'd get to some quite interesting responses. But, you know, if we really want to know what love is all about, the best place to find the answer is in the Bible. Because God not only told us what love is, but he also showed us what love is as well. The Bible says that, you know, God showed his love by sending Jesus into the world to die upon a cross, to forgive all of our sins and to make us one with him. And he did that even though that none of us actually deserve it. You know, every day we make mistakes, we sin, don't we? We go against the things that God wants us to do. But despite all of our failings, all of our wrongs, God still loves us through Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure God, when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, could have perhaps sort of said a few words and, you know, Jesus, you know, everything would have just turned out completely differently. But it didn't, did it? You know, Jesus took our punishment when he hung there upon that cross. And that really, I think, is the ultimate demonstration of God's love, isn't it? And we just need to thank God, I think, for, you know, his practical demonstration of the way that he loves each one of us today. Later on in our service this morning, we're going to think a bit more about love, and not so much God loving us, but we will be looking at that, but also how we ought to love one another and to look at some practical things that we might do to love and to get on better with one another. We're going to sing again now. We've got this one up on YouTube, and I'm hoping that you're all going to kind of break out into a good bit of a sweat on this one and a bit of dancing in the aisles and all of that. So we'll see how we get on. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart.
Day of your coming, teach me to dance to the beat of your heart.
Right, Catherine's going to come up now and read to us from words from Luke and chapter 6.
So it's Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on one cheek, let him hit the other one too. If someone takes your coat, let him have your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks you for something, and when someone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do for others just what you want them to do for you. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those from whom you hope to get it back, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be children of the Most High God, for he is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all that you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you.
Thanks. Thank you, Catherine. We're going to be looking at those words, quite challenging words, I think, in a few moments. And it just reminds us, doesn't it, that it's God that gives us the ability to love other people. And we're going to be thinking now in our next hymn about God's love for us and the great love that he's showed us and is continuing to show us. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down.
Thank you.
There's quite a lot of confusing messages, aren't there, in the Bible? You know, that sort of talks about loving your neighbour, but today we're going to be thinking about loving your enemy. There's been obviously a lot in the news recently about the sort of standoff between Russia and Ukraine. And, you know, it's not easy, not difficult to see, is it, really, how wars can start. You know, one person can say something or threaten something or do something, and, you know, things can start to kick off very, very easily. You know, it's a bit like the way that fights start, isn't it, in the playground at school. You know, one child sort of pokes or does something to another one, and the other one sort of hits back, and before you know where you are, you know, there's a full-blown fight going on. I remember when I was at school, I used to get picked on and sort of bullied a bit as well. I used to wear glasses in those days, and of course it wasn't very cool in those days to wear glasses. You got called sort of four eyes and sort of things like that as well. And my dad used to say to me, well, look, you've got to stand up for yourself. You've got to stand up for yourself. You know, don't let those bullies push you around. So one day I took him at his word and I punched this boy on the nose and made it bleed. Now, I'm not sure that's exactly what my dad had in mind, really, but that's what I did. And looking back, it was probably not a very good response to what happened. But of course, in Jesus's day, the sort of notion of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, was the order of the day, wasn't it? You know, people had to, when they settled disputes, there were very clearly laid down rules for how they did that. And there'd always got to be some kind of retribution or justice for a wrong. And it's funny, isn't it, today that things have kind of gone that way again. You know, the amount of money that's spent on court cases and employment tribunals and things like that, and the amount of money that lawyers are paid to sort of defend these cases. You know, people see fairness, don't they, as getting their own back, of getting some kind of recompense or some kind of their own sort of pound of flesh. And I think this is why Jesus's teaching on love your enemies is quite difficult for us to understand, isn't it? Loving our enemies doesn't come naturally. You know, it sounds very simple, doesn't it? You know, love your enemies. You know, Jesus says, you know, do good, bless, not curse. Pray for those who mistreat you. Turn the other cheek. Give to those who ask. You know, some good advice there, but quite difficult, I think, to put into practice. Now, who are these enemies then that Jesus is referring to here? I'm sure if I went round today and said, who are your enemies? A lot of you would say, well, I haven't got any enemies. You know, I'm not enemies with anybody. You know, I get on okay with most people. But, you know, I don't think the enemies are the people that we're at war with or the people that, you know, we really hate or have an intense loathing for. I think these scriptures bring it a bit closer to home for us. And Jesus is instructing people here in how they deal with the people that they meet and have interaction with in their daily life. You know, it's the people that irritate you. The one people that really get on your wick and really, you know, wind you up when you're with them. The ones that rub you up the wrong way. You know, the people that have got a different point of view to you and, you know, you're like this and never really kind of, you know, gel together properly. You know, Jesus says, turn the other cheek, do good to those who hate you. And it's the people that are close enough to us that we can almost literally slap them on the cheek like that, isn't it? It's the people that are near to us that Jesus is talking about here. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I forgive, I love, I love people that have committed really bad crimes or murderers or paedophiles or things like that, or the things that we read about in the news, don't we? So I can't understand why they can't forgive those sorts of people. But if you come home one day and find that your family has been murdered, or you find that your son or your daughter has been groomed online by a paedophile, or your house has been burned down by somebody, then it becomes personal, doesn't it? And it hits close to home. You know, it's easy to say that we love someone who's done something terrible, or something that we've heard about secondhand that's happened to somebody else. But when it affects us firsthand, it's a different kettle of fish. And Jesus is talking here about the people that are close to us, that, you know, we need to get our relationships sorted out with them. You know, it might be your friends, your children, your spouse, somebody in our church family here. You know, when you, lots seem to be a lot of articles in the paper recently about criticizing Christianity, isn't there? You know, and about the way that Christians react to things. And you know, I read these things, I think, that's terrible, isn't it? You know, what they've done and how, you know, the sorts of things that they're saying here. But I never think it has the same impact if somebody is criticizing me personally about my faith. You know, if I'm constantly critical of my children, or I'm always telling my wife that there's something wrong with her, then I'm their enemy, aren't they? You know, and that's where the thing starts. It's our behaviour very often affects our relationships. You know, a lot of people would say, think that I'm a people person. And in some ways, I think that's true. You know, I do like to be around people as well. But Sandra, if you ask Sandra, my wife, she'll tell you that I'm actually quite a shy person. And there's sometimes when I just cannot be bothered to have people around me. And I'm sure there's all times, isn't there, where you think, oh, I wish they'd just clear off and go away. But, you know, it's very often, isn't it, easier to withdraw from a situation rather than deal with it head on, like Jesus is suggesting to us here. Jesus wants us sometimes to get our hands dirty, and forgiveness in a situation is messy, isn't it? It's difficult. And it costs us in some way or another. And avoiding it avoids the cost, doesn't it? Avoids the sacrifice. So what are some of the things then that Jesus is suggesting here that we might do when we love our enemies? It's easy to say, isn't it, but hard to do. And you might say, well, actually, there's some people that actually don't deserve to be respected or don't deserve to be loved because, you know, they're just total and utter waste of space, whatever it is. But I don't think that Jesus just meant we ought to pick and choose those who we love. Jesus is speaking here to the hardest situations in our lives, when he calls us sometimes to turn the other cheek. It's good. You know, Christianity is quite simple in some ways, but in another ways, it's sort of very complex when you try and unpack it and work it out. But Jesus is saying here, he wants us to give the difficult people in our lives better than they deserve. You know, our response shouldn't be just putting up with them, but it should be showing them our love, our concern, and taking on board some of the things that they're challenging us about. But very often it's a weakness in us, isn't it, that causes other people to behave in the way that they do. You know, it's a two-way thing, these relationships are. He says, love the people that are close to you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Turning the other cheek means introducing the grace of God into our situations. And it's not easy to do sometimes, is it? When, you know, we feel as if we've been hard done by in some way and people have mistreated us and, you know, called us out about various things. Turning the other cheek is about not introducing retaliation and giving up that a revenge altogether. You know, so often we want to take the law into our own hands and try and sort things out on ourselves. And very often turning the other cheek means we sometimes need to pray about it and to give the situation over to God. You know, if there's somebody that you really are having a struggle getting on with or have got a bit of a problem with, you know, and I've heard people say, you know, I've got a real problem with so-and-so, or, you know, every time I talk to them or think, you know, they really rile me up. You know, are there people in your life that you need to get sorted out, need to sort things out with? It's about grace given to the people in our lives that are difficult. Love your enemy for your enemy's sake. Love them into the kingdom of God. You know, the other thing that goes with love is forgiveness, isn't it? You know, Jesus taught not only love people, but we also need to forgive them as well. And the two things go hand in hand. Now, we often say the Lord's Prayer, don't we, here at Kingsthorpe? And it's, you know, quite an integral part of our worship. And we're going to say it a bit later on today. And I think one of the most difficult parts of the Lord's Prayer to say is that line, forgive us our sins or forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. You know, we go through the Lord's Prayer sometimes at the rate of knots, don't we? And try and, you know, we get the, you know, see how quickly we can read it from start to finish. But I think those words, to me anyway, are probably one of the most challenging words in the whole of the Lord's Prayer. And I prefer, I would say, the words forgive us our trespasses rather than the words forgive us our sins. And I'll tell you why I think this. Because trespass suggests crossing a line, doesn't it? You know, if you trespass on somebody's land, you go over the boundary, don't you? And you go on to their territory and invade their space or whatever it is. And of course, usually when we want to forgive somebody, it's often when they've invaded our space. It's they've upset our lives, you know, upset the way that we you know, we like to live our lives. And that, again, is when it gets personal, isn't it? I came across a phrase this week which I think sort of sums up about forgiveness. It says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know, by retaliating, you know, and having the wrong response to difficult people can churn up, can't it? Bitterness and hate, resentment. You know, and we just go away feeling absolutely wretched, don't we, for the rest of the day. And we can't let go, can we? Because it just, you know, it's just there, isn't it, inside our hearts. And that failure can leave us mentally and physically damaged. We can't move forward at all. You know, the relationship is completely busted. And we like to hang on to the past. I mean, you know, we bring it up every time, don't we? Jesus says to us, let it go. Let it go. Hand it over to me. And you know, we need to look to Jesus as our model of love and forgiveness. You know, we're going to gather around the Lord's table in a minute to share the bread and the wine together. And it's an opportunity to remember the suffering that our Lord undertook for you and for me upon the cross, didn't it? You know, we often think we suffer, don't we, that we're hard done by and, you know, we get upset by things. But it completely pales into existing significance when you look at what happened to Jesus in the hours leading up to his crucifixion upon the cross there. You know, Jesus showed his love, didn't he? He turned the other cheek. He didn't get riled. He didn't start arguing people. He just was like a lamb to the slaughter, it says, doesn't it, in Isaiah. And, you know, that's the way that he took the situation. You know, I'm sure it would have been easy, wouldn't it? If we were in that situation, if we were in Jesus' situation, I'm sure that we would have lost it in some way or another, wouldn't it? We'd have become aggressive or, you know, we'd have reacted in an unchristian sort of a way, wouldn't we? And that's the natural human response, isn't it, to situations. When you're under pressure in some way, you either, you know, go in there with all guns blazing or you completely retreat. And that's what Peter did, wasn't it? You know, in that situation, he cut off the ear of the guard, didn't he? Of the soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus's response was to heal and to restore. It's quite a challenge, isn't it, to our faith, this. And, you know, if we really want to call ourselves followers of Christ, disciples, Christians, whatever you want to describe yourself as, it can call into question as to whether we've truly appreciated what God has done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ. You know, there's a danger, isn't there, that thinking that everybody else, we ought to be exempt somehow, that, you know, the way we live our lives, we've got some excuses as to some of the things that we do. But the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, we don't deserve to point the finger at anybody, do we? We can only stand before God and be judged on who we are. Our forgiveness is a free gift from God through Jesus, through his death upon the cross, and brought into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. It's saying that forgiving others is a true reflection that we fully appreciated the forgiveness that Christ has secured for us. And we remember today, don't we, his broken body and his shed blood, the great ultimate sacrifice that has secured our forgiveness. You know, perhaps one thing we all ought to do tonight before we go to bed is just to say those words from the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? You know, forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin, who trespass against us. You know, perhaps that's the one thing we all perhaps could do tonight before we go to bed, and just to say those words when we wake up in the morning, and to be our watchword in our dealings with people, so that we may be like Christ in the things that we do. Amen. We're just going to spend a few moments now thinking of the needs of others. And coming around the Lord's table is an opportunity, isn't it, just to bring ourselves, to bring those things that perhaps might be separating us from one another. You know, perhaps it's somebody that you've fallen out with over the last week, or something that's unfinished business that needs to be rectified in some way. And an opportunity as well to confess our sin and to come before God for forgiveness this morning. So let's just spend a few moments just in silence, and then I'm going just to pray for a few situations. Father, we just take a few moments now to confess our sin before you, before we come around the Lord's table today. Those things that we have done that we know that we should not have done. And also, Lord, for those things that we've omitted to do, Lord, that we perhaps should have done. Father, examine our hearts this morning. Look deep, Lord, into our heart. Show us your love. Show us your forgiveness. So that we might be encouraged, Lord, to live the kind of life that Jesus lived. So that others, Lord, might look at us and know that we are Christians by our love. Father, this morning as we gather around the communion table, we just think of those, Lord, that aren't able to be with us, those that are finding life difficult at the moment. We pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones recently. We think of the family, Lord, of Anne Hobbis, and we just pray, Father, for them, and just, Lord, ask you'll be with them and comfort them at this difficult time. We pray for Diana as well, Lord, who's lost her mother-in-law recently, and just pray that you'll be with her and her family as well. We pray too, Father, for those who aren't able to be here because of illness. We just particularly want to mention Frank this morning, Lord, and we pray for Jude and family. We just pray, Lord, that he'll be restored to health. We pray for others, Lord, that we know that are feeling unwell at the moment. We pray, Lord, that you might heal and restore them. We pray too, Father, for those that we meet day by day, in our relationships with our families, with our friends, our church brothers and sisters, our colleagues at work, people, Father, that we perhaps just meet occasionally. We just pray, Lord, this morning that you might help us to show Christ's love in those situations, Father. Help us, Lord, in those particularly difficult situations to bring them before you, to pray, Lord, for the other person, to bring them, Lord, the situation before Jesus in our lives. We just pray these things, Lord, through our Saviour who died for us. Amen. Before we come to communion, we're going to listen to a song now. I'm sure we've had this before. It's Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. I invite the deacons and servers to join me, please. The picture in that song that we've just listened to is a picture, isn't it, of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And, you know, it's part of that Last Supper, isn't it, that is recorded only in one gospel, in John's gospel. And underlines how Jesus saw his role, not as the leader of the disciples, but of the servant of the disciples. And that should be a model of the way that we should serve one another. And as we gather around the Lord's table today, that's what the picture should be, isn't it? That none of us are better than anyone else, that we're all there to serve and to love one another. Let me just read to you those words that Paul gave to the Christians. He says, "For I received from the Lord that teaching that I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' And in the same way, after the supper, he took a cup of wine and said, 'This cup is the new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' This means that every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's just to give thanks for what you do. It's right. I'm just nearly. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have once again to gather around your table, to reflect, Lord, on these symbols, upon the bread which speaks to us of the brokenness, Lord, that Jesus endured as he made his way to the cross and as he hung there upon the cross. And of the wine, Father, which speaks of the blood of Jesus poured out freely in love for each one of us. And Lord, as we take the bread and we drink the wine today, may it perhaps speak to us afresh of those events, Lord, that happened 2,000 years ago. So Lord, we might just really, really appreciate what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, by loving us and forgiving us so much. Amen. So Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, Jesus took a cup of wine and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as we take the wine, we'll retain it and then we'll drink together as a sign of our oneness in the body of Christ, the blood of Christ shed for us. Blood of Christ shed for each one of us. Let's pray. God, send us out into the world to live and to work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our final hymn today, we've got a good Wesley collection today, "And Can It Be," number 21 in Songs of Fellowship.
Thank you.
Let's finish, shall we, by saying the grace together and, if you wish, to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.